everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast with our continued coverage of CU Mutual Group's Discovery 2020. And in this clip, Advantage Analytics' Shazi Amanis asked CU Mutual Group's Eric Hansing, how do we as an industry embrace innovation and technology, but at the same time, not forget what makes us human? And Eric has his answer here, so check it out.
Love to hear, Eric, your thought on, you know, as an industry, we take great pride. People helping people is what fueled this industry mission. I mean, you know, improving the financial future of consumers, which is sort of near and dear to CUNY Mutual Group as well. And when you try to marry that that vision of that impact with, you know, say, hardcore technology, with which comes, okay, if you're kind of automate the rudimentary processes, task and function, that means job reduction or job loss. How do we as an industry kind of embrace the capability and the tools and the innovation that is coming by leveraging the technology as a way to propel us, staying true to our mission at the same time, not forget the heart and soul of what makes us human? So any thought on that?
Wow. Yeah, I have lots of thoughts on that. You know, and I can't help, I'm visual, and my mind goes immediately back to this old iconic image of the little man under the umbrella. You remember that black and white image
yeah.
of the little person holding an umbrella, and that umbrella is labeled with credit union, and it's shielding him from all of these bad things that could happen. He represented this hardworking but sort of marginalized consumer of the time. Well, that image always kind of captivated my attention. It is a nice symbol of what the credit union system, in partnership with players like CUNY Mutual and others, were trying to do and how different it was. Like, the person under the umbrella is changing. You know, as I mentioned before, the population is just becoming more diverse in every single way. It's different. So we can't think of the person under the umbrella as that little white man. You know, we would draw that image now with a woman of color, right? You know, further, we would change, you know, what we think about as those things on top of the umbrella, those things that are threats to members' financial security and safety. And those are getting more complicated. We have to think about those as we move into this digital environment from a business standpoint. But the members that we're serving, they have to think about identity theft and fraud and all kinds of other sort of risks. And then even the umbrella itself, you know, labeled credit union, I like to think of that as representing the ways that credit unions operated at the time. They have to modernize as well. And maybe the best picture of modernization for credit unions is the transition from digital. We've known for a long time that people aren't just coming into our offices to talk to a loan officer face to face to get a loan, right? Those days have been long gone. And so we've been on this digital transformation and the transformation to get, you know, like anytime access to members through call centers and various other mechanisms. But certainly digital is enabling all of that. Well, you know, your point about like digital can disrupt, it can cause even the way we think about our employees engaging in this process of serving people effectively. You know, people are nervous about it because digitization sometimes means, you know, or I might think it means like removing my job and letting a computer or some kind of a robot do it. And, you know, while some things will be automated in the future and help us as organizations be more intelligent, be more scalable, be more consistent, they are, to me, not going to ever take the place of sort of the empathy that's sort of huge and at the center of credit unions' differentiation in financial services, right? Like, we still need people to engage with members, listen to their stories, sort of add to the data, sort of the power of those individual circumstances and situations and allow our people to pay attention differently than they have in the past to what those consumers really need as we try to serve them better. So we have to be a little bit careful about how we just assume that automation and digitization of our back office processes will just eliminate the need for our people.
Yes, Eric, you hit the point, trend versus what is anomaly. I think when it comes to moving through this digital transformation and looking at data, you also have to really understand that human understanding of what is signal, right, versus what is noise. And that's where I'm very sensitive to using algorithmic type of action. You still need to have the critical thinking that human brings in and the empathy. You talked about that to make sure is there enough data that justifies this particular decisioning, right? Is there variances of data? Because there's a lot of discussion right now happening in this space that data rich, data poor. And you talked about it, there are population of our society has been marginalized or has not entered the mainstream. So where is the data of those segments of those members? So you cannot just act on the data sets you may have because it might be limited, and that builds in biases, confirmation biases, or discriminatory type of lens too. So to me, maybe with the automation and modernization of technology, those certain skill set that a human brings in, that critical thinking could be used to make sure the algorithms are being acting the way and hitting the objective the way we want them to hit, versus just, you know, running through it and steering us in the wrong way too. So I think that's where I feel with the automation and the journey we are on, that we embrace the technology, but we do that with the empathy and the humility in the heart and mind of ours.
Yeah. Can I share an example of, just to make it very real? You guys know I've been leading a multicultural team for several years now. And one of the big learnings has been, you know, yes, this diversity is happening. That diversity really matters to our business performance. We've been doing a lot of analytics, and it shows just differences all up and down sort of the performance funnel when we look at just race and ethnicity as that part of diversity. But then in order to do the right thing with that, you really need to have diverse teams analyzing the data. Like Shazia, to your point, like you can, the signal versus noise really resonates with me, because if you don't know the difference, you will get it wrong, right? You think the implications are one thing when in fact they're really another. And the real example was I was looking at buy rates for insurance by race and ethnicity. And I found that African-Americans had this really high response rate, which means they applied for an insurance policy, but they had a significantly lower buy rate, which means the percentage of people that actually paid for that first policy. And so my initial inclination was to say it's something about, you know, African-Americans in terms of their either ability or willingness to buy, but it was something about them. And so, well, maybe we don't want a really high application rate but low buy rate, because that just causes a lot of extra processing time, operational time on our side. And so I was misinterpreting what was going on there is sort of the punchline. And what I needed to do was surround myself with a bunch of diverse voices who could look at that same data and think differently about it. And I remember sitting down with a group of my African-American colleagues, and they said to me, Eric, you know, what's going on here is probably not anything to do with African-Americans, is more to do with us. Like, what mechanisms do we allow people to pay through, right? Like, in our infinite wisdom, we think everybody should pay, you know, with an automatic withdrawal from their checking account on the same day every month. But what we found through other research and data was that African Americans, along with Hispanics, and by the way, this is not just African American Hispanic consumers, this is anybody like this, but it over-indexes to folks who want to pay with cash or with debit cards or with money orders, believe it or not. And so we basically found that we were making it difficult for certain subsegments of the population to pay their bills. They really wanted to. We were just making it harder for them. And so we needed to make some changes to the ways we allowed payment to happen. And then that buy rate would go up. But if we assumed that buy rate was just some kind of foregone conclusion among African Americans, and we built it into a smart model, right? To me, that would have been akin to ironing over a stain. You automate a process that's fundamentally flawed. You needed humans, and in this case, diverse humans who had a different lived experience than I have, looking at what that data and interpreting what it meant. And I think that kind of stuff is built in all over the place inside CUNY Mutual, inside credit unions. We don't even know to look for it sometimes. And so to me, that's one of those little caution areas when it comes to automating processes and data models as we move in this digital direction.
Thank you very much for that information, Shazia and Eric, and stay tuned for more Discovery 2020 coverage here on CU Broadcast.